It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. If you spend time on or near college campuses, you know the college semester is over once couches and microwaves hit the curbs, when it's time for students to move out.
Wisconsin University is trying to cut back on that flow of garbage.
UW La Crosse and Habitat for Humanity of the Greater La Crosse Region have a new partnership to help prevent items from needlessly entering the landfill during those move-out days.
Caitlin Weehy works on sustainability projects with Habitat for Humanity in La Crosse. Caitlin, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thanks, Kate. It's great to be here.
Well, why does La Crosse need a dumpster diversion program?
Well, you know, there are three college campuses in La Crosse. And college campuses are actually, during move-out season, it's one of the largest generators of waste throughout the year. So, and just the way that college campuses are set up, everything is meant to be disposable. Oh, I could buy another one next year. So those dumpsters fill up pretty quickly. And most of the time, basically all the time, it's usable items that can be going to a new home. So we really want to divert those items and put them to use elsewhere. Just because someone else is done using them doesn't mean that their lifespan is over.
So campuses being one of the largest sources of waste in communities, what are some of the common items that students tend to toss out at the end of the semester?
Yeah, it really varies from campus to campus. Here at UWL, we've seen a lot of futons and larger items, especially with large item pickup going away in the city of La Crosse. Off-campus students are using this as an opportunity to get rid of their old couches and other large items such as that. We also see a lot of microwaves, mini fridges, and of course, ramen noodles.
Ramen noodles?
Yep. All sorts of ramen.
So you also take non-perishables. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, we take everything that can be used again. Clothes, food, personal care items, feminine care products, large items like couches and futons, storage containers, literally everything that still has life left in it.
Where did the idea to start a dumpster diversion program at UW La Crosse, how did it evolve? Where did it come from?
Yeah, so Habitat for Humanity of the Greater La Crosse Region has wanted to do a dumpster diversion program with one of the college campuses here in La Crosse for quite a few years now. And the way that it all got started this time around was we had been thinking about it, and one of the professors here, Emily Whitney, in the public health department, she came into the ReStore one day. She was just shopping and she forgot the leaf to her table. And she got to talking with our ReStore director, Nancy, about doing a dumpster diversion program. And Nancy passed her card upstairs to Amy Smith, our sustainability director. And around that time, they were interviewing for the VISTA position and had brought up the fact that they had wanted to do a dumpster diversion program in my interview. And it just so happens that I had prior experience having created and ran the program at Marist College in Poughkeepsie, New York for 2 years. And so it all just really magically came together. It was quite an awesome start to everything.
When you say VISTA program, is that a program through AmeriCorps that is partnering with Habitat?
Yes, yes. The AmeriCorps VISTA program partners with a number of nonprofits across the country to put people in positions where they can gain experience in the workforce. And yeah, it's a great resume builder and obviously a great experience. I love it here. It's been a wonderful time.
And it is, you know, far from where you attended college, Marist College in New York, that had a similar type of dumpster diversion program. How are you using that experience to establish UW La Crosse's program?
Yeah, so it's definitely informed a lot of the decisions we've made here at UWL. A lot of the, because of course there were difficulties doing it at Marist, one of them being the time crunch in terms of getting students out, but also the volunteers, because during this time, everyone is just trying to leave. And so having enough hands around to help and keep the program running has been a big thing. But luckily this year, it has been an amazing turnout, not only with UWL advertising this to their students and getting a lot of student interest, but Habitat putting it out on their channels. We've filled about a quarter, maybe three-eighths of all of the shifts, which is awesome. It's just enough people for the pilot program to run this year, and we've had a really great turnout overall. That's really the biggest lift with thing is having enough people to help.
Caitlin, when you go into these storage containers, how full are they?
They're pretty full and they fill up quickly. If obviously during the first couple of days of diversion, people aren't really thinking about moving out. They're preparing for finals, but the pods are in place. So that way people can kind of get it in their head that like, oh, I don't need to put this in the dumpster. There's another option here for me. But as move out continued, they fill up and we had to switch them out quite a few times.
And when we say pods, can you describe what they look like?
Yeah, it's like a 20-foot storage container, basically, that you would see on the back of a truck, just a little bit shorter, but about the same size.
We're talking about a new program at UW-La Crosse to reduce the amount of waste that students throw away during campus move-out. Caitlin Weehy is with us, works on sustainability projects with Habitat for Humanity in La Crosse. Caitlin, so five storage pods were placed on UW-La Crosse's campus to coincide with the end of the semester. You've mentioned that you've had to switch some out. Is this adequate to meet the needs of what is being tossed out?
Oh, most definitely. When we think about college move out and the amount of times that the dumpsters need to get tipped because they fill up so quickly, we actually didn't need to tip a dumpster the entire time that we ran this program.
Wow, that's progress, I would imagine. And so even though these storage units are placed near campus dumpsters, some students may choose to throw away items that still have life to them. How might this issue be addressed in the future?
Well, it all comes down to the messaging and how early we're able to get the messaging out, how many connections we're able to make with students on campus and have these important conversations that, you know, just because you're done using an item doesn't mean that it can't be used again. It's really just about building that mindset of a circular economy and being consistent with that message, because it's not something that's going to go away.
Can you walk us through what happens to items that are put into these storage pods?
Oh, yeah, of course. So once the item is put into the storage pod, the pod becomes a dead zone and nobody can take things out, especially just during this first year. Once the pod is full, it gets taken back to the restore. At the restore, all of the items are cataloged. The pods are weighed using the landfill weigh station. So we get two types of data sets for weight. We get an actual weight of the pod, and then we get the weight based off of the Habitat for Humanity International formula, which is for every $1.50, it's a pound diverted from the landfill. So at the end, when we come up with the numbers, we'll be able to compare the two and see how accurate they were. And not only that, we'll be able to come up with a monetary value for all of the items in the pods. And then finally, once all of those are categorized, we will take some of those items into the restore to be resold. And that profit will go towards building new homes and implementing more sustainable practices in the new homes that we build. And then other organizations, other nonprofits that we've partnered with will have the opportunity to come to the restore and pick through all of the pods and take what they need, essentially.
How many pounds of reused items of waste do you hope to divert in this first year?
Quite a few. Hopefully over 5,000.
Wow. Can you build on that? Do you see an expansion from those pounds in future years?
Oh, most definitely. There has definitely been a learning curve with students at UWL as we all adjust to this new program. As students learn and the years go on about the pods and how to really use them and how to take advantage of that, I believe that we'll definitely see an increase in the amount of poundage that we're able to divert. The other thing is that with that learning curve, people are still putting things that could have been usable into the dumpsters, but as soon as they get thrown in, they either get a little bit waterlogged from all the rain that we've been having or broken just from tossing them in. So as the years go on, we hope to really hammer home the idea that, you know, pod first, and if it really isn't usable, like, let us be the decision makers there and we can put it in the dumpster.
So do volunteers still spend time kind of fishing through dumpsters to look for items that can be repaired?
Oh, most definitely. That is one of the daily jobs, if not the primary job. It's less about making sure and like monitoring the pods, but more so about monitoring the dumpsters and making sure we're stopping students if we see them with a usable item headed straight to the dumpster and being like, hey, look, the pods are over here. We can put that in there and we'll take it. Even if the item has wobbly legs or one of the legs is broken and it just needs an extra screw in it, we can fix it. Those things, we have the ability at the ReStore with our Habitat team to be able to repair those items. I mean, we have a whole entire repair program dedicated to that.
Are there any items that land in pods that just can't be reused that we might not think about?
You know, it really depends. We've had a complication this year because one of the dumpsters was filled with a very questionable substance on the bottom. So anything that went into there, we haven't really been able to rescue. Things that there isn't really anything that we can't use again. When you look at the items that are in these dumpsters, they're in primarily good condition, just with a few things that maybe make them a little structurally unsound. But we assume that from them being thrown into the dumpster, that's how they got that way. So again, it's just the messaging, keeping the messaging consistent and teaching the students that this is how we participate in a circular economy.
And in that circular economy, after you've reviewed and cataloged such a diverse range of items, how does Habitat then distribute donations to the region, to the La Crosse region?
Yeah, so we've spent the past couple of months reaching out to different nonprofits in the area and kind of gauging what they could use, what they need, what their wish list items are. We've made those connections and offered up the opportunity for them to come and take things out of the pods, and just restock whatever they need. Whatever's left over, we will try to find a home for if we can't put it in our ReStore, but we assume that there won't be anything left over at the end of this.
Who could benefit from these futons and these rugs and these other household items?
Oh yeah. This program at Habitat actually creates a really unique opportunity. We primarily serve low-income families. We built them homes, but we don't really touch on the underserved populations like the homeless population. And the organizations that we're partnering with work directly with that population. So we're able to give back to the Exchange, the La Crosse Exchange, and What I Need Now, Coolie Cap Thrift. All of these Family Promise, all of these great organizations who are working directly with these populations and really reinvigorate them with these items and put them back into the community and give them a new life with people who really need them.
And Caitlin, not having to tip a dumpster, that has climate implications. Can you talk a little bit about how this diversion program might align with the community's climate goals?
Oh my gosh, yes. This is keeping so much waste out of our landfill. Like, I think the community will really be shocked to hear the final numbers on everything. When we realize this is just a third of what we've been throwing away every single year. Keeping things out of our landfill is so important. I mean, once the landfill fills up, we have to go find another piece of land to use and fill it up again. And you know, that land is then contaminated from all of the different items that are going in there. A lot of them are pollutants. We talk about microplastic in the soils, the stormwater runoff there, all going into our rivers, lakes, and streams. It provides a huge environmental benefit to be keeping these items out of the landfill.
How could other communities in Wisconsin model this? How could they adopt a similar dumpster diversion program?
Yeah, so I won't say it's easy, but the method behind the madness can definitely be replicated. You need a lot of community connections, a lot of volunteers, and a little bit of time to get everything organized. You basically designate certain zones as donation stations and have people bring their items there over a period of time. And then organizations can either come to that site or they can be transported somewhere and just give them back into the community. And how you give them back into the community, you can do it through nonprofits, you can do it through just an open event, a big old neighborhood swap. There are tons of different ways to be able to run a program like this, and it really just depends on your community's needs and your creativity.
How much volunteer muscle do you need to have within a community to pull it off?
I would say you need at least two people per shift per station. So in this case, we have four shifts across the day. It's about eight people times five, about 40 people a day to be able to lift things together. But yeah, it's not a lot of work, really. You just kind of sit there, talk to people, talk about the program, where your items are going, the impact that they have, and this program also alleviates a lot of guilt for people, especially during move out. I mean, we can all think back to when we were moving out and we just didn't have any space in our cars, and the only option was to put it in the dumpster because there was nothing else to do with it, and nobody wants to do that.
Well, Caitlin, thank you so much for joining us.
No, thank you. It was so great to be here.
Caitlin Weehee is with the Habitat for Humanity of the Greater La Crosse Region.